Chris. Thank you. Can you all hear me okay? Good morning. How are we all doing? The most important question, well, most important question this morning is, what do you have on your pancakes? This week is the start of Lent. Tuesday is Shrove Tuesday. So the question is, what do you put on your pancakes? Do you have ice cream? Some people have chocolate, savory even. I'm a big fan of just the good old standard lemon and sugar. You can't beat a good bit of lemon and sugar on a pancake. I don't know what your choice is. Yeah, but this week is the start of Lent. 40 days from Wednesday leading to Easter. So today we're going to look at 40 days of Jesus being in the wilderness, waiting in the wilderness. See, normally when we talk about Jesus being in the wilderness, we talk about the temptations when the devil comes to test him. Normally we talk about Satan coming along and tempting him, asking him to make bread out of stone, to bow down and worship him, or to throw himself down so angels will come and rescue him. But today I thought, let's focus on going into and being in the wilderness. We're going to read about this in the Bible. The story is mentioned in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all very similar accounts. And we're going to look at Mark 1 in particular. For those who are doing the New Testament in a year, which I strongly encourage, and it's a great thing. I'm really enjoying going through the New Testament a year. This would be part of your reading from last Friday. If you're behind, catch up. You've still got time to catch up with the reading in a year. So Mark chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tested by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. If you look at the versions of the story in Matthew and Luke, which we're not covering, it says that after 40 days of eating nothing, Jesus was hungry. I don't know, it's one of the most, the biggest understatements of the Bible, I think. Jesus was hungry. I don't know about you, 40 days seems a long time to go without food. 40 hours sometimes is a long time for me, and in fact, sometimes 40 minutes seems to be an age before I can have something else to eat. So what is a wilderness? I always think of a wilderness as a barren place, cold, windy, no decent food, no shelter, gloomy, full of danger. For me, that was a bit like Prenton Park yesterday, where I was watching Tranmere Rovers playing very, very poorly. The wind was howling. But what is a wilderness? I've looked for some definitions online, and some of these include a wild and uncultivated region as a forest or desert, uninhabited or inhabited only by wild animals, a tract of wasteland, or a neglected or abandoned area. This is where Jesus was being sent. And politically, it is seen as a position of disfavor. If someone, like a politician, is in the wilderness, it means they no longer have a position of authority, fame, or success, and are now not in the news. They're not important anymore. This is where Jesus was sent. He was in the wilderness for 40 days and nights. The closest I've been to a wilderness is a walk I went on with my father-in-law, Ali's dad, a few years ago. Some of you will know Movama, when the highest of the Clwydian Hills, you can see it, or the top of it, the Jubilee Tower that's crumbled down now, across on a good day from across the promenade. This is part of Offa's Dyke, a national trail which runs from Prestatyn in the north all the way down to Chepstow in the south. So we were up there one day and we decided, Ali's dad and I, we were going to walk this. Not all in one day, it's 180 miles. So we did it in sections, along going across in a few days at a time over a couple of years. One part of this is just south of a lovely little Welsh town called Hay-on-Wye. It's famous for books. It's got over 20 bookshops, apparently. If you like books, get down to Hay-on-Wye. It's a section, that section of the walk is called the Black Mountains. It's on the edge of the Brecon Beacons, and it's where the SAS go to train. Some people do this stretch in 2 days. We decided we were going to do this in 1 day. No problem. Most people go up onto the ridge, down a bit, and then caught the next day and carry on. We decided to do it all in 1 day. It was a little bit of a challenge. You basically go up, as you'll see on the top left picture, there's a picture of a wild pony. That was the nicest bit of the walk. And then the rest of it was just barren. As you'll see from the other pictures, the picture on the bottom left of my father-in-law trudging into the distance. It was very, very barren. There was no trees. There was no shelter, no cover, just a few stones to hide behind when the wind got a bit too much, no pub, no sandwich shop, no toilets, nothing. It was what I would call a very challenging walk. That's my only experience of something that was real, a real wilderness. But we did it. But this was nothing compared to the wilderness that Jesus experienced. You see, we decided by choice to walk Offersdyke, crazy as we were, and go across the Black Mountains. But Jesus was sent into the wilderness, not as a punishment, but I believe for a testing and for a purpose, to be set aside to show that he truly was capable of enduring anything that could be thrown at him. So often we think of being sent somewhere bad as a punishment, for doing something wrong. But Jesus had done nothing wrong. In fact, God the Father just said to him, "This is my Son. With him I am well pleased." In Matthew and Luke it says that Jesus was led into the wilderness. In our version we've just read from Mark, it says he was sent by the Holy Spirit. Here was God's Son, whose sole desire was to do his Father's will and to give God the glory. What was going on? Jesus gets baptized by John the Baptist. The Spirit descends like a dove. God acknowledges Jesus as his Son, tells him he's pleased with him, and sends him into the wilderness as an outcast. As an outcast. I wonder what he thought. God, where have you sent me? Where have you put me? Where are the crowds I need to go and speak to? Where are the people I need to go and heal? It's a remarkable contrast, isn't it? First of all, the Spirit descends like a dove, then it drives him away. The cool waters of the Jordan are replaced by a barren wilderness, a dry and a desolate place. Jesus was among the huge crowds watching John the Baptist and people coming around to have their lives changed in the waters of baptism. But in the wilderness, Jesus is now facing solitude and silence and loneliness. He's had the voice of the Father calling him beloved Son. And now it's the hiss of Satan, the tempter. He was anointed by the Jordan to go into the work that God had called for him. But now he's in the wilderness, in danger of being attacked by wild animals. Many of us find ourselves in a wilderness from time to time. It's a desolate, lonely place, waiting for something, waiting for God to do something. We may have been sent, like Jesus. We may have wandered into a wilderness by our own doing. Or we may have just found ourselves unexpectedly in a wilderness place and can't understand how we got here or what we are doing there. Next month will be 9 years since Ali and I moved to West Kirby. Some of you will have heard this story before, some maybe not. I apologize if you have. We weren't meant to move here. We weren't meant to buy a house here. We were going to buy another house in Mells, where we lived at the time, and it fell through. And instead, we ended up buying a house here in West Kirby. I'd been walking away from church and from God for some time, my own wilderness. But God knew better, and he placed us here and sent us here, and we found this oasis called West Kirby URC. And we haven't looked back ever since, I don't think. In fact, if I look back now, I'd have laughed at you if you'd told me I'd be either being playing in the band, being an elder, or even preaching. I'd have thought you were absolutely off your rocker. But God has good plans for us. Even when we walk away and we're in a wilderness, he can turn us around. He can find us in our wilderness, wherever we might be. Just shows you what God can do. Jesus was led into the wilderness for purpose. Sometimes we don't see the purpose for where we are. We find ourselves somewhere we don't want to be. But the good news is that God promises to be with us wherever we are, whatever place we might find ourselves in. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. As Louise has shown us over the last few weeks, he was with Joseph all that time in captivity after being betrayed by his brothers, but he found favor with Pharaoh. For some of us this morning, we may feel like we've been in a wilderness for a long time. We can't seem to find a way out. We can't understand where God has put us. Or maybe we feel like God is testing us and we're finding it hard to measure up. 40 is an interesting number in the Bible, and there are many examples in the Bible of people waiting in a wilderness, wandering and wondering, or setting themselves apart to spend time with God. Some examples on the slide here. Moses went to the mountain of the Lord for 40 days and nights. That's Exodus 24. Elijah journeyed for 40 days without food to the mountain of God. That's in 1 Kings 19. And as we probably know, the people of Israel wandered for 40 years in the wilderness because they didn't trust God. He made them wait 40 years to come into the promised land. 40 years makes 40 days seem like a very short period of time, doesn't it? Even when we're in a wilderness, God promises that he's still watching over us. Here's a verse from Deuteronomy 2, verse 7. Moses talking to the Israelites and telling them, "The Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He has watched over your journey through this vast wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you, and you have not lacked anything." See, so often the Israelites complained at their situation, looking at what they were missing and not what God was doing or what God was providing. Sometimes they're asking to go back to Egypt, where they've been in captivity. But God was watching over them nevertheless. And he was watching over Jesus in the wilderness too. He had complete faith in his beloved son. He knew he was up to the test. He trusted him, and he knew what he was up to the challenge. The challenge to me and the challenge to us sometimes when we find ourselves in a wilderness, are we up to the challenge? Are we up to that test? Are we faithful like Joseph was in prison? Are we faithful in the wilderness? In my own walk with God, I have sometimes learned not just to wait in the wilderness, but the challenge is to worship in the wilderness. Psalm 40 says this. I love the number 40 is cropping up quite a lot this morning. I love this psalm, Psalm 40. "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and he gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and hear and fear the Lord and put their trust in him." There's even a version of this song, which we're going to hear at the very, very end of the service, by a small band you may have heard of called U2. The song is called 40. In Psalm 40, the psalmist says, that as we wait for God, he will hear our cry in the wilderness. We will sing a new song. But while we wait, God sometimes calls us to worship him in the waiting, to worship in the wilderness. When my mom passed away in October, some as you know, 3.5 months ago, for those few weeks she was ill in hospital, and her last 3 days in Will Hospice, I had to sometimes force myself to worship. But the answer is, sometimes when you're in a desperate place, is to fight on your knees, to fight and to worship God, even if you don't feel like it sometimes, even if you don't feel like it, to sing praise even when you've got tears rolling down your cheeks. I trusted and believed that God would see me through, which he did. It wasn't easy, but that is our calling as followers of Jesus, to worship him even when we're in a place, maybe a wilderness, makes us want to maybe shout at God, ask him what he's doing. Because the easiest thing to do sometimes when things are hard is to walk away from God. We've all done it, or been tempted to do it, I'm sure. He doesn't promise us a walk in the park. But the God we serve never, ever leaves us. He's always there by our side, whether we can see him or not. Even in the barren places, even in the hard, desperate places where we can't see him, even while we are waiting in a wilderness. I'm going to play a song now, a little video I found this week by a band called Casting Crowns, some of you may or may not have heard of. And it's called Desert Road. It talks of walking with God even when we're in a wilderness or on a desert road. Just listen to the words. The words will come up on screen as well. Let's hope this works.
I'm
I'll ask the band to come back over. That's okay? Thank you. Some of us might feel like we're walking on a desert road some days, dry and dusty. In the song it says, "Where you lead me, I will follow." The challenge to me is, will I follow all the time when I'm in a wilderness place on a desert road? Waiting. Some of us, like the psalmist in Psalm 40, might be waiting for God, for him to do something, for him to move in something that's going on in our lives. Or our friends or family are in that kind of place at the moment who we are praying for or supporting. Watching. God wants to remind us that he is watching over us. He is still our provider. He's still there, even when sometimes we can't see him and cannot feel him. He's a rock that never changes, right beside us at the top of the mountains and also in the valleys. Worship. What is our response? We are called to worship even in the wilderness, even when it seems hard. In the words of David, the original writer of Psalm 40, "Let's wait patiently for the Lord. He will incline to hear our cry, and he will lift us up out of the pit, out of our wilderness." Let's sing a new song to God, who is worthy of our every breath. I'm going to pray. Let's get into a place where we feel we can receive from God this morning. It's no accident that we're here this morning, and God wants to speak to every single one of us, I believe. For those online, that's exactly the same as well. As you're listening this morning, God wants to speak to you. God wants to touch our hearts. So wherever you feel comfortable receiving from God, whether it's open your hands, bowing your head, wherever, I just encourage you to just open yourselves up to what God wants to say to you this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning as a thirsty people in a dry and dusty place and acknowledge our need of you. If we're honest with ourselves, we're more in need of you than we realize. We live in a broken world that at times seems barren, cold, and desolate, especially when we hear so many stories of pain and suffering daily in the news. Some of us may have been wandering in a wilderness and feel lost and alone and maybe a little bit hungry. Lord, will you meet each of us where we are this morning? Will you encourage us? Will you challenge us? And ultimately, will you point us to Jesus? And help us to worship wherever we are in our walk with you, even if it feels so, so difficult. Because you promise to meet us. You meet us wherever we are and whenever we come to you. Holy Spirit, will you come and speak to each of us this morning? To each person in this place or online, will you move in our hearts, bring healing and hope and wholeness and refresh us again in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen. As we come to worship now, I'm going to pass over to the band.